All right. Well, thank you very much. And if you're in Kidmo, we're going to let you go on back. If you're our guest today, Kidmo is our second through fifth grade environment that they go to after our time of worship together. If you're a guest today and you have a second through fifth grader and you would like to see where your kids are walking off to, feel free to walk off with them and you can go back and just kind of watch what's going on back there. I just want to say thank you to Erin for being here with us today. You know, she when she's not in Haiti, she lives in New York, but she's down here in Atlanta, and she got a ride to come up here to be with us this morning. So we're really thankful that she took time out of her way, and I'm going to try not to disappoint you. I tell you what, there are no doubt some of these sermons in Creole are going to be better than what you're going to hear today. So I'm just going to set that bar low right now, but we are very glad to have you and to be a part of this, and this that you chose to take some of your free time to be here with us today. We really appreciate that. And that certainly, any ways we can get involved, we want to continue to do that. If you would like to make a gift to Heart of God Haiti today that we can send with her, then just either on one of the envelopes, right, Heart of God or Haiti or something, and or on the check or whatever, and especially if you do cash, write it on an envelope, and we'll send that with her for some of the projects that are coming up. And that's just a great opportunity to do that this morning. We have so much going on today. One of the other things that are happening, what I'm excited about is we never wanted to start a church that we just sat here and looked at each other, right? Because those are just, they're worthless. When we come and we just sit here and look at each other, and we could really do that, and we could also be just watching a football game or playing video games or whatever. But we wanted it to be interactive, and we wanted it to be something that this made a difference in the world around us. And so not only have we got an opportunity to work with Heart of God Haiti, but if you're one of our ladies today, or if you are a lady, then a female, some of you would say, I'm not a lady. But if you're a female, so I don't want to offend anybody, you know, but if you would like to stick around after worship today, we're going to be having a luncheon. And Andy Mendoza, who is the director of Widow's Harvest, is going to be here. And he's going to be sharing about a ministry opportunity for some of you to be involved with if you would like. Now, here's the catch. We have lunch provided, and thank you for those of you who brought something to go with the lunch as well. And we also have childcare provided. But dads, guess who's providing the childcare? I'm not saying. I got plans. But if you're here, guys, and you want to hang out, I know Kurt and I will be back there corralling kids, and we would love for you to hang out with us. We're just going to watch the kids while mom gets a chance to be over here. And if you don't have kids, then that's fine too. You can stick around as well. So that's going to be right after worship. I hope you'll stick around for that. Today we did one of my favorite songs that we're doing right now at Journey. And it's called Wake Up. I love it. I want to ask you this. Is there anyone in the room who is a dreamer? Anybody? A bunch of people. Do you know, one of the things that I love, one of the descriptions of the way God says he will talk to people is through dreams. And I love that. I think one of the most basic liberties that God gives us in all existence is the ability to dream. And one of the things that I like to ask my kids when they get up in the morning, I don't ask them as much as I used to, but I'll just ask them, you know, what did you dream last night? And usually it's, nothing. You know, I don't always remember those. I'm not really necessarily talking about just the dreams that when you fall asleep and you should not have eaten that chili right before bed. I'm not talking about those kinds of dreams. But I'm talking about those things that you dream about what could be. You dream about the life that you could be a part of. You dream about the things God wants to do around you. And whenever you're watching the news and you get depressed and discouraged about the world and everything around you, you dream about what could be in the world that if it were truly healed and truly experienced the power and the presence of God among it. God often speaks to us in dreams. And the truth is, what I want to share with you today very much goes along with one of the ways God wants to talk to you. And that is in this incredible, crazy voice somewhere in the back of your head, and you're not real sure where it comes from, but it inspires you to do something that makes no sense whatsoever. Because that's the way God works. We've been talking about this series called The Journey for actually several weeks now. We've got a few more weeks to go. And the whole purpose of this 8, 10, 12 week, whatever it's going to end up being, The whole purpose of this series is that we understand living the life as a follower of Jesus is not just about going to church and doing what I'm supposed to do in this arbitrary list of Christian things that all your friends are not allowed to do because they're not Christians, and maybe I shouldn't be either because I want to do some of those things. That is not what it means to be a follower of Jesus. But instead, there's this incredible opportunity. I'm going to move this, by the way, because I'm going to knock it over, because that's what I do. I knock stuff over. I'm probably still going to knock it over. But for all of us, we have an opportunity to take it so much deeper, so much farther, and whether it's talking about a church doing something outside the walls. Did it fall over? Oh, no, I'm breaking your stuff now. See? I'm breaking their equipment. That's why I'm not a musician. That's why I like hanging out with them. They're dreamers, too. Last week we talked about one of the most basic teachings of Jesus on what it means to follow him. And it was this incredible passage on the vine and the vine dresser. And we spent as much time talking about the vine dresser as we did about the vine. Because usually what we do is when we kind of approach this type of topic, we look at it and we go, you know, we're talking about the vine, and we come up with all these agricultural synonyms and parallels and everything that is just fantastic. But the bottom line is, you and I want to believe that we are the vine. We are the main life-giving source. Things go the way we want them to go. We make the decisions. This is my life, my independence, my freedom, my future, my goals, my ambitions, my aspirations. And what that teaching tells us is no. The vine is not you. The whole source of life, the whole goal and purpose in life is Jesus. He is the vine. But it must be tended to. And the vine dresser is not me either. It's not my ability to manipulate scripture or to lead an organization as a pastor or David and Stephanie in youth or Richard in worship or in any other area in leadership here. It's not our goal to manipulate things, to build this entity or organization, because we are not the vine dresser either. Only God is. And there are four primary things that vine dresser does. But we looked at that, we really honed in on the characteristic that he prunes, he makes sure it gets nourished, he brings in the harvest, and he's the one that deals with the outside sources trying to destroy us. It's him who does this. But at the end of last week's message, what I shared with you was that this can be a very discouraging teaching if you misunderstand what he's trying to say. Because literally we have the opportunity to be grafted into this vine of Jesus, and then we follow after his teachings. And the truth is that message has been distorted over time, and even now I would say we probably struggle with this more than most people do. What does it really look like to follow the teachings of Jesus? You see, it's easy to come to a place and say, you know, we're not about rules, but you need to do X, Y, and Z because that's what Jesus did. It can be very discouraging. It's very easy to look at this and say, yeah, Jesus is the vine, God's the vine dresser, I need to be grafted into the vine, and I need to become like the vine, and I need to stop trying to become like me. I just need to kind of become what the vine wants me. I want to be what Jesus wants me to be. It's easy to say that, but then when we get down to it, we start failing, right? There's so many things we want to do, and everyone in the history of the world has struggled with this. So if you're sitting here today going, yeah, I struggle with whether or not I'm a good Christian or a good follower of Jesus, I struggle with that. Congratulations. So does everybody else. Even Paul said, man, I don't do the things I want to do, and I do the things I don't want to do. It's the story of childhood. It's the story of adulthood, too, let's be honest. But there is hope. There is opportunity. How terrible would it be that God said, hey, I have something planned for you. I have something prepared for you. I've got a life outside of here for you if you can keep all my rules. If you can do it, then it's here. It's like those games at the fair or at the carnival or at Chuck E. Cheese or Cece's or wherever you go, and it drops the claw down to pick up the $600 iPad that will take you $700 and quarters to win. You know what I'm talking about? It's so uniquely this design that its tension is just a half a pound or a half an ounce less than it really takes to actually pick up that toy. And so iPad's not a toy, I guess, but whatever it is. I remember we went to the fair and we had a thing. It was $1 to play this thing. And this is the worst thing ever. Across the top it said, guaranteed winner. You ever done that? Well, don't do it if there's not an attendant somewhere near the machine because they lie to you. And so we only paid $1 and we sat there for 30 minutes. Drop. Oh, we missed it. Drop. Oh, we missed it. 30 minutes, no kidding. We sat here for a guarantee win. Eventually, we walked away and lost our dollar. How would it not be like that if Jesus said, here are my list of rules. If you'll just do this, you're good. And the truth is, if we're not careful and we walk through Scripture, we walk through the New Testament, it is so easy to get to the point where we just begin following the rules again. Some of you are here today because you got tired of following somebody's rules. Some of you are here today because you're not real sure what you believe in or if you even believe in any of this. But, you know, the music was kind of cool and, you know, that video was kind of cool. And this guy wish he would stop talking. I don't know where you are. But for a lot of us, we teeter dangerously on misunderstanding what Jesus really wants. And because there are so few examples of people living a full life following him that we often give up. So my question again to you is, are you a dreamer? Do you believe in what's more? Do you believe in what's better? Do you believe in what's out there that is possible? And the truth is you were never meant to get there on your own. John 16:8 says this. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. This section, John 14 through 16, are some of my favorite verses in Scripture because it brings so much hope and so much just basic stuff in following Jesus. It says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. This is before he goes to heaven and he says, I'm going to prepare, you know, this place and I'll bring you. This is before that. He's still in front of them, talking to them. They see him. He's dressing himself. He's walking from place to place. And he says, I'm going to have to leave you. It's kind of like the founder of an organization says, guys, you got this. I'm retiring. Right? What? We can't do this without you. Apple right now is struggling with what does it look like not to have the visionary at the helm anymore. And they're kind of figuring it out. Most family businesses do not make it past the third generation because once the person who was motivated and had the vision and had the drive, once they had moved outside of the family business, those who came up under it just didn't have the drive, didn't have the vision, didn't have the commitment to it, and it just ends up failing. And for the disciples, for Jesus to say, you know, I've got to leave you. I got to go. You got to do this stuff on your own. Now, remember, this is at the exact same time Jesus is saying the world's going to hate you. And I'm out of here. He says, I got to go. I'm going to have to leave you. And it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. I got to go. For if I don't go away, Helper. The helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. You see, when we look through some of the teachings of Jesus, and some of them are easier than others. If your hand causes you to stumble, then cut it off. That's a hard one. I still have both my hands. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. I still have both my eyes. Some of the teachings are harder than others. Some of them are easy to talk about, hard to do. If someone slaps your cheek, turn the other one to them. Are you kidding me? Right? Yeah, that's great. That's a great teaching. But if you hit me, I am not going to sit there and turn the other cheek. I'm not going to sit there like that. Some of these teachings can get really hard. And if it falls down to this belief that we have to follow all the rules, then we eventually will give up because we find it too hard. And Jesus never wanted that for you. You and I have a helper. The question is, are we allowing him to help us? So I think for a lot of Christians, they struggle with really allowing God to be involved in their life. We go through the motions, we do the things we're supposed to do, but we really struggle with really allowing God to be active. Some of the ways that we talk about this, when's the last time that you clearly heard God tell you to do something? Or that you prayed for something and you clearly had an answer? Or that at a time of when you had no purpose and no motivation and no goals in life, you clearly could hear God saying, this is what I want for you and for your life. When's the last time that happened? When's the last time you sat in absolute stillness and you were able to communicate with God, not just on these things you were saying in your head, but you just knew that God was there with you and you were communicating? When was that? So many times we get so bogged down in the rules, in the formula, in the system. God wants to help us. But here's what I want to do. I want to be careful as we move into this. Because there's a lot of people that think that God is here to help us with what we want in life. See, Jesus wasn't saying, okay, you know what? Whatever you want, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to help you. Well, God, I want a better job. Well, the Holy Spirit will help you. God, he cut me off in traffic. I want him to get hit by an 18-wheeler. I'm here to help. There are so many times that we misunderstand the purpose of a helper. Because of what my heart tells me is, I really want God to make these things happen so they'll work out the way I want them to work out. Has anyone ever lived a life that way, by the way? Does anyone ever live a life saying, you know what, everything worked out pretty much the way I wanted it to? I don't know anybody that could say that. And there are many people that will read passages like this and say, there's a helper. And there are actually entire denominations and churches and whole organizations that her primary goal is to try to convince you that God wants to help you get all the stuff you want in life. Of course, you got to give them their fair share because they have wants too. There are whole groups of people that have taken the gospel and they have so screwed it up to say, the helper is here for whatever you want him. The Holy Spirit is here for you for whatever you want the Holy Spirit to do. And that's one of the biggest misunderstandings of what it means to be moved and influenced by the Holy Spirit. The truth is the Holy Spirit helps us to know the will of God and to become like Christ, not to reach our own aspirations. And at some level, if you want to be able to be on a journey of a lifetime and an adventure that you look back over time and say, man, there was some hard stuff, but I am so glad I was on that. I want to tell you, it's going to come at the cost of submission to the will of someone other than yourself. And that is something that will eventually be labeled as hate speech in the culture in which you and I live. Anything that questions the individual freedom and aspiration of a person is more and more being pushed against by the culture around us. Submission is a word that no one wants to say anymore. Some of us, we were forced to submit in ways that just really make us angry. You have a boss who loves the fact that he's your boss or she's your boss. And so they want you to know regularly how much you must submit to them, and they rub it in your face. And so the whole concept of submission to you is a stench to it. For some of you within marriage, you have been married to somebody and they believe that your goal in life is to make them happy. And so someone told you you've got to submit to them, and then you have just had a terrible stench in your nostrils because you don't want to submit. Who's taking care of you? And no one had to train you for this because you were born with it. I was born with it. We all struggle with this idea, but the helper comes and the helper moves us when we submit to the influence and its goals and its purposes. Here's what I want to do this morning. The Holy Spirit is one of those things that it's kind of those controversial topics in the church today. There are denominations who say, you know, we get the Holy Spirit, nobody else does. And there are denominations who say, you know what, it's just about the gospel, forget about the Holy Spirit. There are people that disagree about what the Holy Spirit looks like or how the Holy Spirit acts. And there's all types of representation within books and movies and all kinds of different works about what the Holy Spirit does. We were talking with some new friends this week, and we were talking about the book The Shack. And I don't know if you have read The Shack. It's not really on anyone's radar anymore because it's been out for a while. It is actually an excellent book. But one of the controversies that came out of this whole thing, well, two of them really were that God the Father is portrayed as a woman, and the Holy Spirit is also portrayed as a woman. And so there were all kinds of people who just kind of jumped down this idea that, man, you cannot portray God that way. Even though if you go back and you look at the original text, you'll find that God is referred to as both male and female. It's amazing to me that we get so narrow-minded that God must mimic us when he's the one who created us in his image. And yet we so quickly come back to this idea that we've got to make God fit our image. Not the other way around. But it was a great story, and even though it's not the Bible and it should not inform the way that you understand Scripture, it is a great representation of how God is so much bigger than we like to allow him to be. So many more options. What I want to do with you today is just share with you seven basic things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. Seven basic things that every follower of Jesus, who the Holy Spirit is helping them, these are ways that the Holy Spirit will help you. Some of them are great and they feel good. Some of them feel weird and you're not sure how they fit. But I want you to know that if you're going to be on the journey of a lifetime, if you're going to be grafted into this vine that is Jesus, tended to by God, that I'm getting attacked by ladybugs up here, by the way. I don't know where they're coming from. I guess spring is here. But seven things that will happen if you are grafted into the vine and God is working within your life. These are non-negotiable. They may some have more influence at some times in your life than others. But all followers of Jesus should be experiencing this. All followers of Jesus should be experiencing this in their life. The first one is this. We read this in John chapter 16. But the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and truth. Isn't that an exciting one? We like to think about ways the Holy Spirit helps and does incredible things and shows up at the last minute or brings healing when we need it. But one of the most basic roles of the Holy Spirit in the world is actually to convict you of the sin in your life and to believe in truth that God wants you to believe in. You know what that means? That means no matter how much I tell you what you're doing is wrong, the Holy Spirit does it better. In fact, I think I've pretty much decided we need to let him handle that. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and truth. John chapter 16, we're going to spend a lot of time in John and Romans today. But John chapter 16 says, and when he comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because you do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, you will see me no longer. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Sin is a very real reality in the world. Righteousness is a real reality in the world. And judgment is a very real reality in what is here and what is coming. We cannot ignore those things. So why is this a good thing? Should Christians just be sitting around when the Holy Spirit is active in their life going, man, I stink. I'm an awful person. And people do that, by the way. And it's really not exciting. I don't really know anybody who consistently berated themselves, won somebody to Christ. Because people can do that pretty much on their own. But instead, God wants to bring healing. He wants to inspire. And he wants to change you for the better. That will happen as we understand the role of sin in the life. It's the gospel. If you're here today and you've been to all kinds of different places listening and wondering what the gospel is about, the gospel is very basically this. You and I are sinners, and we are destined to an eternity without God and whatever hell looks like. That's what we have brought upon ourselves because we have to live life our way. That's just the way it is. Conviction tells us there's a better way, and I'm not doing it. And Jesus is the one who came and said, that's true, and if you will believe in me, I will help you be released from sin, and you can follow me for all of eternity. I mean, that's the gospel. Believe and confess. I'm a sinner. I believe in you. Forgive me. And it very much brings us to this very basic understanding of what it means to submit to something other than ourselves. You and I cannot follow Jesus without submitting. It cannot happen. If you are living your life and you have based your life on a set of beliefs and principles that keeps you in charge, you are not following Jesus, bottom line. If you have to always have your way, you're not following Jesus. If you know better than anyone else on the planet, you're not following Jesus. Because at the very basic level, when we are convicted of sin, we recognize I don't have all the answers. And I need Jesus. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and truth. But this is the introduction to a lifetime of an incredible experience with Jesus. Not some ongoing level of just judgment and wrath because you sinned, but freedom. The second thing the Holy Spirit does, as we are convicted of sin and truth of who Jesus is, the Holy Spirit brings us into God's family. If you're not really sure, and we talk to a lot of people that are moving here or moving away from here, and when they've been real involved in a church, that becomes part of their identity. And then when they come to a new place, they're just really not sure what they're supposed to do, or they just kind of feel alone and lost. And the truth is, if you are a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit has brought you into family with brothers and sisters all over the world that spans generations from the very beginning to the very end. You are connected to a family, and the Holy Spirit brings you into this family. I can't explain this with pie charts. I can just tell you that it's true. He brings you into a family. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God," which assumes you are a follower of Jesus, "for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." This is one of the roles of the Spirit, that you constantly believe and know, "I am a child of God." Nothing can change that. Verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." Holy Spirit brings you into a family. Now, just on the very basics of some of the things we do as a church, baptism does not bring you into the family of God. Baptism is for us to demonstrate to the family of God that you are a part of the family of God, not make you a part of that family. You're already there if you're being baptized, we hope. Baptism is strictly us saying we have made a decision to submit to God and we believe that he is true. So at the point that you have done that, and if you did that 5 minutes ago, 5 years ago, 50 years ago, at the point that you did that, you are adopted in the family. The Holy Spirit actually does that. It's pretty amazing if you think about it. Third thing I want to share with you, and for some of you, this is where the Holy Spirit is with you right now. This is where you need him to be. The Holy Spirit helps us when we are weak. Now, guys, we struggle with this one. In our minds, we say, yes, we need times when we are weak, but we don't ever admit it. Because we don't want anyone to think that we're not a man, not the alpha, not better than everybody else. But the Holy Spirit helps us when we are weak, which means if you are never weak, then the Holy Spirit is not helping you. One of the things I've learned is some of the strongest people I know will very quickly admit their weakness in life. Because they recognize that when God is involved in their life, they become so much more than they ever could on their own. For some of you, that's not really the way you approach this. Instead of, for you, you have no problem acknowledging your weakness. And you are hurting and you are struggling and you don't know if you even like this life that you're living. You're ready to give up at any time. The number of teenagers checking out of life, the number of people before they reach an age where they're even working full time have already checked out of life because they don't see anything that brings them hope for the future. There are many that want us to believe that the economy and difficulty in finding a job is the cause of this. It is not. There are many people looking for work who do not have a lack of purpose in life. God helps us in our weakness. Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. The Spirit helps us in our weakness and is very closely tied with the fourth thing the Holy Spirit does, and that is that the Holy Spirit works through prayer. If you were honest, and I'm not asking you to blurt it out, I want you to be honest with yourself. When was the last time you had that deep, guttural time of prayer where you just didn't even know what to say? How many times do we put our 5 minutes of prayer, if we can make it that long, in at some predetermined portion of the day? Or we do it at meals. Or we do it when something bad happens. Or we're about to take an exam. Or we're about to hopefully get something good happening in life. Or we're waiting for something to close, a house to close, or the car to get to the right price or whatever. And those are the times that we pray. The Holy Spirit actually works in our prayers. And what I love about this passage is it says, even when we have no clue what to pray, the Holy Spirit is interceding for us for what we should be praying. Which tells me there are times we are going to become so overwhelmed with life, we're not even going to know how to pray. Otherwise, why is it even in here? And the Holy Spirit wants to do that for you. Are you seeing a partnership here? And I want to be careful, not that we are partners on equal standing with God, but do you see how we have to work in tandem with each other? That is what it looks like to follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit is active within your life, working with you behind the scenes in some ways that you are excited about, in some ways you're not really excited about. But the Holy Spirit is there to get you where God wants you to go. Submission says, I'm willing for him to take me where I may not want to go. Because if that's where he is, that's where I want to be. The fifth thing that he does, and this is what I'm so thankful for, and this is what so many people are missing out in life, is that he teaches us. The Holy Spirit teaches us. See, if you're here this morning, and I say this so regularly because I believe it so fully, if you're here today expecting to get enough teaching to get you through the week, I am so sorely disappointing you. There is no way to get in 30 minutes or an hour or 6 hours of teaching. If for our guests here, we won't be here for 6 hours. It may feel like it, but we really won't. There's no way to get what you need from God in that short period of time, nor can I provide for you or anyone else that's up here teaching what every person in the room needs right then and for the rest of the week. It doesn't work that way. God never intended it to be that way. Instead, he wants to teach you every day. And what we struggle with in our culture of celebrities is we struggle with finding that pastor. And some of you have your bookshelves lined with a certain pastor, or you have your radio set to a certain pastor, or maybe on a more local level, we choose a church based on the teaching style of a pastor. And this, again, is not new. Because in the time of the disciples, this happened too. And they said, some of you are coming to us saying, hey, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of whoever, as if that teacher is more important than the one they're teaching about. There is so much more if we begin to let the Holy Spirit teach us. John 14 says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, here it is again, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Just let that soak in. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. 1 Corinthians 2. Now, listen to this. This is where I'm just kind of backing up my argument here, because some people don't always believe what I'm saying. I'm just backing this up with Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2 says this, listen to this. This is so crucial. It says, yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom. What? That sounds like a cult, right? We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. It's so much bigger than you and I can possibly imagine. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. I don't care how long you've been reading the Bible or how many extra books you read on top of that. The Spirit of God is the one who, he really has the answers. Verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. See, there is so much more good stuff there when you begin to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. Now, this is the point that some people go, yeah, I knew it. I know some of my beliefs, I can't really back them up in Scripture, and Scripture says something different. But I know the Holy Spirit told me these things. And this is a really dangerous place to live. Place to say that God is going to teach me something outside of Scripture, something different. Things have changed. And I will tell you that Scripture says that will never happen. And some of you are saying, well, Scripture's saying that about itself. But what if God taught me something outside of Scripture? Just at the bottom line problem with that philosophy is that when will he change something else? If he changed his mind there, when will he change his mind that you're not saved anymore? Heaven won't exist anymore. The rainbow will not represent that he's not going to flood the world again. See, one of the most basic tenets we have to understand of God is that while God may move in different ways among people, who he is and the promises he makes do not change. We have to count on that, rely on that. But I want you to know that there's so much more that God wants, so much more depth than what you just read a passage of Scripture for at face value. And the Holy Spirit will take you there. So many people that before they knew Jesus Christ, they just would read the Bible and it made no sense to them. And yet when they gave their life to him and submitted to him, all of a sudden it began to open up and just become this beautiful opportunity to know the heart of God. That's because the Holy Spirit is involved. Let me finish up these last two things before I close out today. The sixth thing the Holy Spirit's going to do is going to empower you to help the world. Think about this. Empower you to help the world. Our culture is, again, going to push back on this because the goal of life is not to help the world. The goal of life is to get the world to help us, right? That's why we have to constantly be vigilant to look for opportunities to bless others rather than working so hard to get others to bless us, which is not very difficult to do. We always are thinking of how to get others to bless us. How are we blessing others? 1 Corinthians 12 says this about spiritual gifts. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, or just not followers of Jesus, you were led astray to mute idols, worthless idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's, again, the role of the Holy Spirit is to convict of sin and truth, and then to speak to us and teach us within our life. That only those who are influenced by the Spirit of God do that. Verse 4 says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the, what's that? What does that say? For the common good. You mean it's not just for me? No. I find people who exercise their spiritual gift find great satisfaction in being able to use it, but they're rarely the ones who benefit the most from it. It is those that the Holy Spirit uses it in the lives of others that receive the most benefit. But he has given us some supernatural ability, and this is for another time, but gifts like teaching, gifts like the ability to serve others, to encourage others, gifts of giving. I mean, there are several listed in Scripture that the Holy Spirit makes them happen in you, and it's to change the world for the better. And then finally, the seventh thing that the Holy Spirit wants to do to partner with us is to build God's kingdom and not ours. Build his kingdom. Back to John 15, it says, when the helper comes, there it is again, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, talking about Jesus. And you, if you're following Jesus and the Holy Spirit is working within you, you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away, because we will at times be so discouraged that we want to give up. Verse 2 says, they will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. How perverted everything will become. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when the hour comes, you remember that I told them to you. There's a lot right there. But what I want you to take away today is that the helper is going to help witness to who God is and who Jesus is. And by the Holy Spirit being active in us, we're going to do the same thing. One of the things we're struggling with, and we don't have a survey for you today. Some of you have been wondering, what are you doing all these surveys for? And some of you are scared to death for some of the survey questions we're asking. And the bottom line is we are right now in the process of really praying through what does it mean to follow God in these next few years. And one of the things we have to constantly keep in check is the idea that we're trying to build the journey kingdom. Because there's really no reason for a journey kingdom, because you know, there's such a better kingdom out there. But yeah, we have a role to play in the kingdom. And so one of the things we're doing is we're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And one of the ways that we do that is we believe the Holy Spirit is also speaking to you. And that's why we ask for feedback from you and input from you. But we are looking for where God is directing us. But the most important thing we want to be a part of is building the bigger kingdom of God and not just our own. We want to make sure that we spend financially in what builds the kingdom and not just our own. We want to look on where we spend our time and spend our energies is building the kingdom and not just building our own. We want to be a part of this where the Holy Spirit is helping us to build his kingdom. So if you're taking notes, if you're not, and you check on that the YouVersion link, you can take all these notes home with you. Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and truth. It helps us when we're weak. It works through us when we're praying. It teaches us things that we will never learn otherwise. It empowers us to help others in the world. And then it works in partnership with God to build his kingdom in the world, to rescue those without hope who are dying and have nothing in their life. Last week I asked you a question. I don't know if you spent any time on it or not. I hope you did. The question I asked was this: what is consistent in your life? And be honest. What is consistent? We all have what's consistent. And some of them we're very excited they're consistent. Some of them we work very hard to make them consistent. And some of them we wish they were less consistent. What's consistent in your life? What do you wish was more consistent? You do have a choice to make. You do have an option to allow this to become more consistent within your life. And what do you wish was less? I will tell you this, it is harder to think or harder to change what you want to be less consistent than what you want to be more consistent. It's harder to remove things from our life than to bring things into our life. The Holy Spirit is there to help you know which of those need to be coming in, which of those need to be going out, and then empower you along the way. Here's what I'm going to leave you with. The journey changes you if you're walking with Jesus. You can look back over the last 10 years and you're the same person you were 10 years ago. That's terrible. You should not be the same person you were 10 years ago. Now, there are some consistencies. 10 years ago, I was a follower of Jesus. I still am. And if you want to give a Sunday school answer for that, that's fine. But are you the same person with the same priorities, the same goals, the same habits, the same hang-ups? You're spending money on the same things, your time on the same things. Your outlook for the future is exactly the same. Has nothing changed in the last 10 years? If that's the case, the Holy Spirit has not been active in you for the last 10 years. Because the Holy Spirit changes you. And the only way that you can keep the Holy Spirit from changing you is resisting its influence. The only way. The Holy Spirit does not sit there and wait and ask for your permission to change you. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. The question is, are you allowing it to? It changes you if you're walking with Jesus. I've never met a person, maybe they exist, I've never met a person who was changed by Jesus who wanted to go back. Never met them. Because walking with Jesus is the greatest thing in life. You see things no one else sees. You experience things no one else experiences. You're never alone because He is there. When you're not sure where to go in your life, He has an answer. And when you feel alone and beaten down and you feel like you just want to give up, He is there to strengthen and empower you and to prop you up. Maybe not make you feel like Superman, but you certainly can keep going. There's a trend happening among pastors. It's a trend of suicide. I don't know if you're aware of this. The pastors all over the country are killing themselves. I mean, it's unbelievable. People who should be close to the Holy Spirit and are experiencing God's work within their life are going into their offices, into their basements, driving their cars some remote location, and ending their life. I will tell you this. You can very easily follow the path of religion and miss Jesus. Because when you follow Jesus, He is there with you. And I'm not saying you don't get to the point where you're discouraged and depressed and you want to give up, but I'm telling you, He will not let you stay there. And at the end of the day, one of the greatest promises we have is when this is all said and done, what we have given of ourselves and given to others, when it's all said and done, we will be with Him in heaven. This world is not the point. Being with Him forever is the point. So keep going. Keep moving forward. Don't stop. If someone told you along your path to stop dreaming about what could be, I'm going to tell you, start. Go out wherever you need to go. Sometimes you may want to drive and dream. Do it. Some of you, it's be out in the woods, and you need to just find some woods and dream. Some of you, it's just sitting and being quiet. Dream. Some of you, it's being on the water. Go on the water. Whatever you need to do, wherever you need to go, dream. And let the Holy Spirit take you places you never would. Bottom line, you can only follow Jesus if the Holy Spirit is helping you. Will you submit to Him? Will you follow Him? Are you willing to go places no one else will go? Because that's where He'll take you. Father God, I thank You for those that are in the room. I thank You for the dreamers that are here. For those that they've decided they're going to dream even when people told them to stop. Just fit a mold, get in line, do what they're supposed to do. Father, I thank You that You teach us in our dreams and that You encourage us and You move us to places that no one else goes. Lord, we're so confused sometimes at all of the things going on in this religious world we live in. So many people go to church, but they don't experience You. There's one person on Sunday and a different person on Monday and every other day of the week. I pray that we would not be that, but Father, that we would genuinely submit our lives to You and experience Your work in our lives. Pray for those that are here today and they feel absolutely weak. The idea of dreaming for them, they just don't see any purpose in it because they just don't feel like they can even get through a day. God, you promised to help us in our weakness. And I pray that you would minister to them. Father, I thank you that you speak and you pray for us when we are in need. When we're not sure what to say, what to do, we don't even know how we're supposed to feel or think. And you're there. I thank you for that. I thank you that when you walk and we choose another path, that you allow us to come back. Father, I thank you for your love and your grace, even in the midst of our sin. Be with all those who are here today. Let us go out from this place and share the blessings of what it means to know you. And leave up to you what only you can do. I ask all this in Jesus' name.